Because when you're holy, then you're truly going to be happy. All right? But it comes from holiness. God wants to make you like himself. And just like a parent raising a child, where a child is frustrated, the parent doesn't give them just what they want when they ask for it, right? But a parent knows better. Okay? You don't give your children just what they want. Amen? Okay? Man, that doesn't work. It's the same way God is with us. Same way he is with us. He wants to give us what we need, not what we want. Not what we want. But man, God, we need to get this right. And because it hinders us from walking in the great and precious promises of God. God has great promises. He says, I'm for you. He says, God does want you to walk live a blessed life. Right? But we have to recognize it's his will, not ours. Okay? We have to do what he's speaking. And you know, and I know we get offline by this. As Christians, we all cross that line at times. Like, yeah, I'm too focused on me in my Christian walk. Right? I'm too focused on me and not God's business, but my own life. And I know, you know, when I walk into a Christian bookstore, and there aren't many of them anymore, but when you find one, okay, when you find a bookstore and you walk into it, there are so many self-help books. So many self-help books. I mean, if I'm not a Christian, I'm going into these bookstores. I'm thinking these Christians, they can't figure out anything. They got 50 self-help books on everything. I'm like, what? You know, maybe why is that? Because we're focused on self, and focus on self sells, sells. Right? Listen, man, God wants you to lose yourself, not find yourself. Okay, right? When we were young, a big deal in the 70s was you got to go find yourself. You know, I found myself, and I found out really I needed to kill myself, all right, to find out who God really was, right? So I said, we need to recognize God's will and God's plan. One of the questions asked most often, I should say, when we did our survey was really, how do you know the will of God? How do you know God's will, right? How do you know he's speaking? How do we find out what he is saying? All right, I know as a pastor, that's a question that people ask more than any other one. How do I know if it's God? Should I take this job? Should I leave this job? Should I pursue this relationship? Should I go on a mission trip? Right? We have all these questions. Should I buy this car? Should I make that investment? It's constant. And there's no scripture and verse that you can just read to have all those answers. Why? Because God just didn't design it that way, right? He wants your heart. He wants your heart, and he wants to have a relationship with you that you can learn to hear his voice. Jesus made that simple statement, if you recall, where he said, he's the shepherd, we're the sheep, and the sheep hear his voice. They hear his voice. Wouldn't you like to hear his voice clearer? Talk about changing your life, right? I could just hear his voice in a clear way. That's what we want to talk about and focus on here in these next moments. Let's just pray again. Father, we come before you, and God, even as we open up this subject, God, ask you to just speak to us. Use me, Father. We want to be people who can hear your voice. We want to hear what you're speaking. We know you desire to speak to us. You wouldn't have sent your son to die for us if you didn't want to have this relationship. So God, Let us hear your voice right now. In Jesus' name, they all said, amen. Amen. Well, listen, fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ will grow in hearing God's voice by starting with Scripture, striving to be teachable, and submitting to the Holy Spirit. Okay, how do we learn? How are we going to hear God's voice better? Start with Scripture. We need to know the Word of God. Okay, stay teachable. Teachable, okay. I mean, we could say, you know, strive to obey the Word of God. Okay, stay teachable. Okay, don't just read it. Don't just start with Scripture, but obey it. Obey it, man. Do we have an issue in Christianity with knowing the Word of God and not doing the Word of God? Right. Again, I feel many of us as Christians we deceive ourselves because we've heard teaching about things so often we actually think we do them. Okay, but really we don't. We know them, but we don't do them. Okay, and the third is submit to the Holy Spirit. We have been empowered by God, by his Spirit, we're told, that we can walk this out. We can do this. Yes, you can have the promises of God. You can be a witness for God. And it's all available. It's all available. It's all right there for us. It's those great and precious promises that he has for every one of us. Okay, so let's talk here specifically about knowing the Word of God. And we're going to look at a scripture that Paul wrote to one of his followers, one of his disciples. It's Timothy. And he's writing this to Timothy, and he's encouraging Timothy, who at this point is really, really kind of operating like an apostle. I mean, he's overseeing churches. He's overseeing churches. But Paul's still encouraging him, and he wants to encourage you and I today. And he told Timothy, he said, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, correction, training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and equipped for every good work. See, now when I look at the end of that and see complete and equipped for every good work, okay, that's what I want, right? Everybody in here wants to be better. We want to honor God with our lives. Okay, well, how am I going to do this? We say, well, listen, well, it seems like something, I need to see what the scripture is speaking here. We're not going to take a lot of time like this. As he says, it's God-breathed, okay? In the Greek, that's God is theo, and breathe is pneuma. It's like God breathed. He used the people who put the scripture down. All right, we believe that these words are from God. They're from the Lord. And let's just talk a little bit here about, again, what it's saying here. First, it says the word of God is profitable. Profitable. Man, I like to do things that are profitable, right? Think about this. When you pick up the Bible, when you pick up this book, whether it be at night or early in the morning, whatever your select time is, okay, when you open this book, you're doing something profitable for you. You're making a profit for your life, okay? Now, think about yesterday morning, Saturday morning, okay? Now, you could have done something profitable and picked up this book and started the day with that. Spend 10 minutes reading it, okay? But again, what did you do those 10 minutes in the morning? Okay, did you do something profitable? Right? Not that you did something bad, but was it profitable? Okay, there's a difference. There's a difference. Right? Just again, we're not just talking about absence of evil. We're saying God wants you to be blessed. Right? Well, do profitable things. Do things that are going to lead to a life of blessing. That's why we have this book. So thankful for this manual, aren't you? So thankful, and so frustrated I don't read it more. Right? Why is this so difficult? When we see what it says. Okay, give me that next slide, Gavin. This just breaks down this scripture. It says it's profitable for what? It's profitable for teaching. Okay? It has lifestyle, it has life application. This book is so practical in so many ways. And again, if you're not familiar with it, again, we encourage you, come forward even as we end today. Let's talk about that. Because this book is profitable, and so much of it, particularly in the teachings of the New Testament, which is after Jesus came, it's so practical for daily living. I mean, look, you want to know how to restore relationship? This is the best manual you can have. Okay? You want to get out of a financial mess? This is the best manual you could have. Right? Again, do you want to have you want to know how to build strong relationships? This is the best manual can have. You need marriage help. This is the best manual you can have. Okay? It's there. But see, it teaches us. There's a teaching here. So Paul's saying, look, this is profitable. Read this book. It will teach you. Because again, if we're going to know God's will, okay, we need to know what the book says. We need to know what it says. And it says also, the second it says, that it's for reproof. What's that? That means it tells you when you're wrong. Okay? Inner conviction is a really nice way to say it, okay? Okay, tells you when you're wrong. Man, there's nothing like reading this book and being set straight, right? But that's what it's for. It's to show us where we've gone off the path, where we've missed the mark. Okay, again, so we need to be willing to see it. And not it's not complicated. It's not hard. So reproof is telling you when you're wrong. Correction is how to make you straight. Okay. Reproof, hey, you're crooked. Correction, hey, you can get straight. Okay, so he corrects us. He trains us. The Word of God trains us that we can grow up and mature. No one is growing to the degree they could in God or reaching their full potential in God if they're not picking up the book. Sunday morning is not enough. Bible study during the week is not enough. You have to get into it. You have to dig. Okay, it's a treasure chest. Don't take it as, you know, most of us, even when we say that, most Christians, when we hear that, we're saying, man, I know, that's just so hard to do. No, it's not. It's hard because you're not understanding that God is good. It's hard because you're missing the point. You're missing the point. This is for your good. Okay. And man, God, we need straighten on that. I need straighten that on that regularly, right? Because we can look and say, oh, I got to read the word. I get to read the word. I get to. It trains me. It matures me. It makes me a better man. Makes me a stronger man. Makes me more bold. Makes me more confident. Who doesn't want all those things, right? That's what God says this will do. And again, of course, it goes on to say you're equipped. It equips us then. You're trained, you're equipped. Why? To do good things. God has more for you to do than just have a better life. He has purpose for you, something specific for every single person in this room, everyone. And it's beyond what you're doing right now. You know, again, I can look at this having served God for, a lot of years. But there's still more. There's still more. I'm not done yet. Okay? There's still equipping going on. I don't want to limit what God can do. There's more. And he's looking for people who will pursue him, all right? Pursue him and run after him, right? That he can speak to and he can lead. Because one of the problems, one of the issues we have in learning to hear God, this is no extra charge. You see, so much of our hearing God is all about us. Well, God, lead me. What do I do with this situation in my life? What do I do with this child? Or what do I do with this, with my marriage? How about if you change that, God, what do you want to do with my life? What do you want to do with me for the purposes of your kingdom? See, because we get so self-focused. So self-focused. Again, one of the great advantages in my life is spending a lot of time in the second and third world. Because again, it keeps my head straight on what matters. Okay? And we get so caught up in living the American Christian life, okay, which does not exist, by the way. There's a Christian life that exists, right? Okay, and again, so we've got to work. We have to work as Americans to stay focused outside of ourselves. Okay, if you want to learn to hear God, start asking him about, and you're saying, I'm having problems hearing his voice. Well, how about you start asking questions about what he wants to do with you? Asking questions about how can you serve him in a greater way? All right, because those are questions we don't ask. God, teach us to listen. Teach us to hear. You know, again, so we got to know the word of God if we're going to hear his voice. Okay, we've got to know it. He confirms what he speaks to us typically through the Bible, all right? So if I want to discern his word, I've got to be one who is pursuing knowing his word. We have to be radical about it. You need to read it, study it, memorize it, okay? Why not memorize it? You memorize all kind of other things that are trivial, right? So again, I can tell you Roberto Clemente's lifetime batting average. It's a really important fact, right? But it sticks in my head. Like, don't tell me I can remember that and I can't remember what the scripture says. Okay, but why do I want to memorize it? Why? You say, why memorize? I got Google. How many of you have found that when you're getting kicked around in life, okay, going to Google to look up scripture does not cross your mind? Right? You may go to Google for diversion because you don't want to face your problem. We have to be people who are going to push ourselves to start with the word of God and strive to know the word of God. I want to know it. I want to obey it. Okay? And I want to strive to submit myself to the word of God. This book is a gift. Right? If you want to know his voice, know the book. Know the book. Let's talk for a couple of minutes here just about salvation. Because I feel one of the issues we have in our Christian culture is we forget the significance of salvation. You know, because it's like not having the foundation right. So it's like trying to hear God. Salvation is the foundation of our lives, right? Jesus Christ, what he has done for us. We're going to talk about that a little deeper. But, you know, you can have a great cell phone, but if you're not hooked up to a network, okay, it doesn't do you any good. Okay. So same thing with God. You're not going to hear his voice. You're not going to be able to hear him and discern his word if we don't understand what he has done for us in salvation. Okay. Because again, if I want to stay fresh in this reality. Salvation, what are we talking about? I mean, what's salvation? Let's go to that next slide. Salvation, you know, again, just trying to keep a simple explanation. It's an eternal spiritual deliverance by which we enter a new kingdom, okay? Salvation. Our new life begins with salvation, okay? And these are all the things, of course, it includes. There's a lot of great benefits to salvation itself, you know? And so I said, we just want to take a minute, just grab and remember what happens in salvation. And, you know, we use here in Bridge City, we use what we call the bridge illustration, not because we're Bridge City, okay, just worked out that way. This is actually an illustration that was first designed, I think, back in the 1950s. It's really, it has a history to it. But the idea is for us to understand what happens at that moment of salvation. What transpires and why do we need it? And so it's important that we nail this down. It's important that we do not forget the power of salvation, the simplicity of the gospel in Jesus Christ, right? And again, most of us here, we know this. We got it in our head, but we don't live it from our heart. See, because if you're living the realities of salvation from your heart, you're filled with an excitement and anticipation of every single day. You wake up in the morning with a purpose. You wake up in the morning with an excitement. Why? Because, man, I have a hope in my life. I don't care what kind of hell you've been through or what kind of hell you're in right now. If we understand the promise of God through salvation, we know that we have an eternity. We have a hope because Jesus rose from the dead, right? Of life that we can't even comprehend. See, and it's not just life here. It's in the next life. But what is the story, right? Every one of us is a sinner. Just too many times, I was real close to dumping that over. I know some of you are looking at me. We're not done yet. May happen. But listen, here's an issue we have. Again, we fall prey to thinking that salvation, making this decision to follow Jesus, is an alternative lifestyle. It's not an alternative lifestyle. It's life and death. It's life and death. I mean, that's what we see in the scripture. I mean, God did not send his son just as an alternative way for you to get to heaven. That would make no sense. None of you would give up a loved one just to give somebody an opportunity when they have other opportunities to get to heaven. No, that there's something that matters here. We've all sinned. We all are desperate for salvation in Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches us that everyone has fallen short of God's glory. Billy Graham, Mother Teresa, none of them could get to heaven on their own. Your grandmother could not get to heaven on her own. Okay, I don't care how good she was. Okay. You see, but God does love us, though, right? He loves us, and he loved us so much, what we couldn't do for ourselves, he did for us when he sent Jesus to come and lay down his life for us, right? Jesus died for your sin. You deserve to go to hell. Every one of us in this room, you deserve hell. You deserve an eternal, I deserve eternal separation from God. Absolutely, absolutely. But because God is love, all right, And he loves the way he does. He sent his son to do for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. Okay? Right? He died once and for all, as the scripture speaks. Right? He died. He paid the price. See, but not only did he die, the really great part beyond the death is he rose again from the dead. Because it says we rise up with him. We're going to be celebrating baptisms here in a few minutes. Okay, what's baptism symbolic of? Well, Jesus died 3 days in the grave and rose up. Well, you die, that old life is gone, and you are raised up with Jesus into new life. Amen? That's what that's about, man. That's what that's about. Okay, but see, one thing that gets me, I mean, you who know me, I mean, I truly enjoy worship. I enjoy getting together with you and magnifying and glorifying God. What always confounds me is how there's not always more excitement about worship. How is there not excitement about worship when he did this for us? How is there not excitement that I deserve death? I deserve separation from God. And he chose to forgive me. You know, he came and laid down his life. How does that not excite me? I mean, how does that not excite you? See, and listen, and I say that again. I say that I'm not trying to make anybody feel guilty, but I do want to challenge you on you're living short of the glory of God. See, because again, because when you're not, when there's not an anticipation and an excitement and a joy in remembering what Jesus Christ has done, you're missing out. I'm not saying you're not going to heaven. I'm just saying you're missing out on the promises of God. How can you not be excited about what he's done? Right? God has done so much for us. And I want to keep that fresh before me. I need to keep that fresh. Okay, so what happens? Okay, so God saves us. He says, man, you're now mine. All right? But he doesn't want to leave you just saved. He wants to sanctify you. He wants to make you holy. Right? Holy, not happy. Let's say that together. Holy, not happy. He wants to make you holy. He wants to set you apart, this beautiful thing that he wants to do. And again, sanctification, okay? Again, sanctification, process by which God sets us apart for himself. Okay, he delivers us from evil, right? He says you don't have to live that old way anymore. You don't have to. You're set free from. Isn't that good news? You're set free from. You can say, well, man, I still sure struggle with that. Yep, but you... Okay, yeah, there is a struggle, but it can't overpower you. See, the devil can't make you do a thing. You have to let him. He can't make you do anything. Okay, he doesn't make you do anything. You make choices. See, but if you forget the power of salvation, if you forget the power of the resurrection, then you're fighting on your own. And I'm no match for the devil and what he does. So again, let's just look at a couple things, because God wants to sanctify you. It means he does want to set you free from the junk of the past. Okay, God takes you as you are, but he doesn't expect you to stay there. All right. Okay, let's look at this scripture that Peter wrote in 1 Peter 2. He says, beloved, he's talking to Christians, people he loves. He says, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh. Wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God in the day of visitation. Do you see a couple things here? First of all, he says that, again, we need to abstain from the things of the past. But recognize there's a war going on. That's the key phrase here for me. There's a war going on. The devil doesn't want you to walk in the promises of God. He wants you to keep living the way you are because it's going so well, right? Okay, same. So we have to recognize we're at war, and we now, through Jesus, don't have to live this way. And what we're going to do in this moment, I just want to take, we're going to read a longer text of Paul writing to the Corinthians, and he's talking about how this life is so much better in Jesus. Okay, so we look at this next slide of Corinthians. Oh, I'm sorry, just skip that. Go to the Corinthians scripture. Thank you. Romans. Oh, God. I could blame it on jet lag, so I can... I did that last time I was here, too. I did it 3 weeks ago. Bless God. Okay, that's my bad, not the guy's. So let's read this. And this is the Message Bible. Okay, so it's more amplified, but man, it really speaks about what we have. So listen, Paul, this is Paul writing. He says, I'm using this freedom language because it's easy to picture. You can readily recall, can't you, how at one time, the more you did just what you felt like doing, not caring about others, not caring about God, the worse your life became and the less freedom you had. And how much different is it now as you live in God's freedom? Your lives are healed and expansive in holiness, right? In other words, he's making a comparison here, okay? Hey, do you remember how good was life before Jesus, right? We think it was so good. You say, no, do you remember? What did that get for you? Let's go on, next one. As long as you did what you felt like doing, ignoring God, you didn't have to bother with right thinking or right living or right anything for that matter. But do you call that a free life? What did you get out of it? Nothing you're proud of now. Where did it get you? A dead end. Right? That's life without Jesus. Yeah. We try to tell ourselves to romanticize the past. What was it really? What was it really? What did you really get? Were you really free? No. No, when you're living without God, you're not free. How many can say amen? That's my testimony, right? It's my testimony. Verse 22. But now that you found you don't have to listen to sin tell you what to do and have discovered the delight of listening to God telling you, what a surprise. A whole, healed, put together life right now with more and more of life on the way. Isn't that good? Right? Life now, and it gets better from here. Amen? Listen, that's why I want to grow in the Word of God. I want to grow in knowing God, that we can be people who live in these promises, that we can say, my life is better. Right? The path of the righteous is like the light of dawn. It grows brighter and brighter to the noonday. Right? When you're following God, there is a brightness to it. It happens. Work hard for sin your whole life, and your pension is death. The wages of sin is death, okay? But God's gift is real life, eternal life, delivered by Jesus, our Master. See, you want to find your life, lose your life to Him, right? This reality, this foundation stone of salvation is necessary for us to remember the promises of God, to remind us that God is for us, that it's a foundation stone in our lives that we can stay sharp every single day and walk in the wholeness of God. That's the promise that we have. That's the promise. That's what happens as we go forward in God. That's what He has for you and I. Okay, let's not fall short of that reality. Let's not fall short. Could you put up the scripture on how to be sanctified? The one after that. There you go. Just want to end with this. Aaron, if you'd come up. How are we made holy? How does God sanctify? So in this salvation experience, right? Washed of blood. What does that mean? Okay. Jesus died. He shed blood for you and I to be cleansed of our sin. Okay. So again, that's not a work of our own, right? It starts with salvation experience. Jesus had to pay the price. I accept that. Okay. What happens then? Man, I gotta know the book, the Word of God. I've gotta be in the book. Okay, allow the Holy Spirit, asking the Holy Spirit to take control of our lives. And then how are we made holy? We run together. There's no lone rangers in the body of Christ. There's no orphans. You got to have a family. You got to have a church family, right? If you're going to walk in holiness. And if you walk in holiness, you're going to find happiness, right? And you're going to find purpose in your life. This is all possible. And you can hear God's voice, but we got to be on this path. We got to be on this path. We have to be, if we are going to learn to hear God as we start with the scripture, as we strive to be teachable, right? And as we submit to the Holy Spirit, allow Him to lead and guide us. Amen? Listen, at this time, those being baptized, I want you to shoot out and get prepared if you could. Go and get prepared. Sam will be giving some direction about that in a few minutes. Okay. But he said, as we close here, I can't encourage you enough. I can't say it strong enough that you could be one, who says, I'm making a commitment to know the salvation of God. I'm making a commitment to know the Word of God. I am committing myself to strive to know His Word. It's again, God wants you to walk in every promise. His desire is for you. All right? I said, man, it starts with allowing God to change our lives, set us free from sin by His blood. We got to get into the Word of God. We allow His Spirit to move in us, and we get in with other people. Amen? Amen. So again, this is the trek to hearing God. If you do these things, you will learn to hear God's voice. But we have to know His Word. We have to have that foundation laid on what we have in our salvation in Jesus Christ. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we come before You. God, we thank You. We thank You, Father God, again, for what we have in You. Thank You for the gift of salvation. Thank You that You came and laid down Your life for us. Thank You, Jesus. You came and laid down Your life. Let that sink in. In Romans, it says that, the book of Romans, it says that while you were still a sinner, He came and laid down His life. You didn't care, you didn't ask Him to, and He did it anyway. And then when we finally turned around and looked at Him, He still welcomed us in. He still welcomes us. He says, come. I paid a high price for you. I paid a high price, and I will forgive you. I'm not out to take things from you. I'm out to set you free. I'm not out to take things. I'm out to give. Find out how good life can be. Thank you. Father, don't let us lose it. And God, let's 2 Timothy chapter 2, God, just sink into our souls, God. 2 Timothy 3:16, God, again, that your word, it's profitable. It teaches, it corrects, it equips. Thank you. I want to know the book. And again, Father, if there's anyone here this morning, again, they're saying, I need to start this walk. I need to get washed in the blood. I need to be washed by Jesus. I believe the promises, but I've been off track. I need to start at the beginning with salvation. I want to understand what it means to follow Jesus. If there's anyone here today, again, that you're in that place saying, I was there. I was following God. I knew what salvation was, and I walked away. You don't have to leave today without having that assurance. Get back on the path. Get back on the path. If there's anyone here today who's ready to make that decision again, we just want you to raise your hand so we can have somebody come and pray with you. Again, whether you've been far away or you need to come back, just wait here just one moment. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. You're so good. Father, let us be people, again, God, who are going to live beyond ourselves, appreciating salvation and the power of the Word of God. In Jesus' name, they all said, amen. Give the Lord a hand.